Pope Francis, recently at Mass, stated publicly something that's against at least four scripture verses in the New Testament, and also contrary to at least two church fathers. Here's what Pope Francis had to say at Mass. Quote, you can see it here on the screen. "Keeping the truth does not mean defending ideas, becoming guardians of a system of doctrines and dogmas. It means remaining bound to Christ and being devoted to his gospel. Truth is Christ himself." End quote. You can see here a bifurcation in the words of Pope Francis. On one hand, you have being faithful to Christ and his gospel. Yes, of course. But for some reason, being faithful to Christ and devoted to his gospel in the very same breath is somehow opposed to becoming guardians of doctrine and dogma. So today, we are going to go through the pastoral epistles of St. Paul. St. Paul, specifically to St. Timothy, discusses the imperative of a bishop, even more so a pope, to guard the deposit, to guard the doctrine. The language of guardianship and guarding is right there in the New Testament. It's forceful words. We're going to go into the Greek a little bit, and then I'm going to share you a quote from St. Irenaeus and a quote from St. Clement of Alexandria, how the earliest Christians in the first couple centuries understood that it was their duty for the lay people, but especially for the clergy, to be guardians. That's the language they use, guardians, to guard. All right, before we get started, we need to pray. And I suggest that we pray this Our Father for Francis, because this is serious. You can't, I know this is just a sermon. It's not an ex cathedra statement. It's not an apostolic constitution or encyclical, but this is problematic. We Catholics can't say things like this. Oremus. Nomine Patris, Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater Noster, qui es in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen Tuum, adveniat regnum Tuum, fiat voluntas Tua, sicut in Caelo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis odie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, before we get started, I invite all of you to like the video and please share it on Facebook or Twitter. I really do appreciate everyone that does that. And please subscribe. There's a button beneath this video or in the bottom right. You can click that and hit the bell and you'll be notified. All right, well, for those of you just joining us, Pope Francis at Mass recently stated that keeping the truth does not mean defending ideas, becoming guardians of a system of doctrines and dogmas. It means remaining bound to Christ and being devoted to his gospel. Truth is Christ himself. Now, that's true. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, John 14:6. But Christ also says to the apostles before he ascends, which we just celebrated the Feast of the Ascension, that they're to go into the whole world teaching the nations all that Christ had commanded them. And lo, I am with you even unto the end of the ages. So Christ is the truth, but he didn't just come to the earth and remain mute. Christ taught a system of doctrine and dogma about the Father, himself, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He taught about baptism. He taught about faith. He taught about all kinds of things. That's why we have four Gospels that are loaded with teaching. It's why we as Catholics stand up and we mark our minds, our lips, and our hearts when we hear the words of the Holy Gospel, because that is Jesus Christ teaching to us. It's not just Christ. It is Christ and his doctrines and dogmas. So, as a humble layman, I'm not in the magisterium. I'm not a priest, a bishop, a cardinal. I'm certainly not a pope. I would humbly like to suggest to Pope Francis that he retract this statement because it is offensive to pious ears and it's incorrect. And the reason we know it's incorrect is because it's directly contradictory to what St. Paul said in the New Testament when St. Paul was inspired by the Holy Ghost. So let's take a look at some of those statements by St. Paul. All right, the first one comes from 1 Timothy 6:20. I'm going to put it on the screen for you, just a moment. I thought I had all my quotes ready to go. Here we go. All right, let me adjust some things here. All right, 1 Timothy 6:20. Paul says to Timothy, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding the profane novelties of words and oppositions of knowledge, falsely so called, which some promising have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen." Now, the Greek here I put up on the screen, you can see here in verse 20, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Now, you know I love the Douay-Rheims Bible, but here is a translation that could be better. You can see here on the screen the Greek word is on the third line, right about there. Okay, it's tain parthekein phulexon. Probably have the accents off on there. And phulexon is the Greek word for guarding. And I put it here on the screen right here. All right, here's the verb form. It means to guard or to watch. Usage is, right there, I've pulled it from a dictionary. In the Greek dictionary, to guard, protect, I am on guard, customs and regulations to keep and to observe. This is to guard something like a guardian, like you're guarding a prisoner. That is exactly what it means. Now, the other word here is paratheke. This means a deposit or a trust. We Catholics speak of the deposit of faith. What is the deposit of faith? Christ took every single doctrine and dogma, he gave them to the 12 apostles, and he told them to teach them to all nations. In other words, Christ gave a deposit. Let's just use an analogy here of money. He gave $1 billion to the 12 apostles in an account and says to guard and to teach this. That means that the 12 apostles and all the bishops and popes until the second coming cannot change one, they cannot take $1 out or add $1 in. It's a even billion. That is the precious Catholic faith that is unchanging. You can't add to it. You cannot subtract to it. It's a deposit. And so when St. Paul is talking to St. Timothy here, he says, literally in the Greek, guard your deposit. Paul has made Timothy a bishop, and he's saying, guard the deposit. Now, if Pope Francis is correct, he says that keeping the truth does not mean defending ideas, becoming guardians of a system of doctrines and dogmas. That's just incorrect. Paul has to be correct, or Francis has to be correct. I'm going with Paul. I know in this case that Paul is inspired by the Holy Ghost in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Pope Francis is not inspired by the Holy Ghost when he's preaching at a mass 2 days ago. There's a distinction there. Now, I also want to draw your attention to a passage in Luke 11. It's also on the screen right here. You know this passage probably because you've heard it at mass. When a strong man armed keepeth his court, those things are in peace which he possesseth. Here, the same word is used. It's in a different conjugation, phulasse. It's the same word. In other words, a strong man arm keeping guard. That is what a bishop and a pope should be doing. He should be a strong man, armed with the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and constantly defending and guarding the deposit of faith handed by Jesus Christ to the 12 apostles. The reason we Catholics have apostolic succession is so that the deposit is faithfully handed down. In fact, the bishops literally take their hands and place it on the heads of the next bishops. It is literally handed down. That's why it's the laying on of hands, because they are handing down the deposit of faith, which cannot change. Now, Paul, when he's using, and we're going to see it in three more verses, Paul uses the exact same verb that we see here, phulaxon, phulaxon. He's probably, this is just a guess by me, but he's drawing off the Septuagint. There is a passage in Malachi 2:7. It's down here, right there on the screen. It says, "For the lips of the priest shall guard knowledge, and they shall seek the law at his mouth, because he is the angel of the Lord of hosts." What is Malachi saying here? He's saying that the priest is the guard. He is the armed guard. And it's the same verb. You can see it right there. Again, a different conjugation. But it's the same Greek verb that means armed guardian. Right? It's not just like you're babysitting. You are standing watch like a soldier, guarding what? Guarding the apostolic and Catholic faith that cannot change. The very fact that it is 2021 and we have Pope Francis, who says he doesn't use the title Vicar of Christ, and he's saying to the world that apparently he, his cardinals, his bishops, his priests, should not be guardians of a system of doctrines and dogma is preposterous. It is wrong. We lay people who are baptized and confirmed, we should say, this is wrong. No, your job, Pope Francis, your vocation is to be the guardian. Because by doing that, you are guarding and protecting the sheep. That's us. We sheep are confused. There are wolves running all around our churches. We can't find food. That is, we can't find sacraments in the Word of God preached. We can't find tradition, sacred tradition that has been passed down for 2,000 years. We, the sheep, are in disarray and confused, and we want to be guarded and protected. And you're telling us on May 16th, 2021, that you're not to become guardians of a system of doctrines and dogma. Who is? Who on earth right now is supposed to be guardians of a system of doctrines and dogma? I think the modernist, liberal, heretical answer would be, are you ready for it? I think if you put a few apple teenies into these Vatican officials, I think that their answer to you and me would be, there is no system of doctrines and dogma. That's what Pope Francis means. There is no system. Why would we guard something that doesn't exist? Because sadly, the church has amongst itself religious nuns, monks, friars, priests, deacons, bishops, priests, cardinals, popes, lay people. They don't believe that there was a deposit of faith that Jesus Christ gave. Some of them don't even believe that the apostles were 12 and went throughout the world. It's just sort of a pious legend. Early writers wrote the word 12 because there were 12 tribes of Israel. They're just trying to make a point. It's not history. What's really important is social justice. Helping the EU, helping the UN to promote health services to people, to promote peace, distribution, socialism, happiness here on earth. And so all this ancient medieval patristic teaching on, you know, sexual morality and excluding people from the sacraments because they're not baptized or they don't believe the Nicene faith or the Chalcedonian faith or the Tridentine faith. We don't do that anymore. We all know, hey, there is no system of doctrines and dogmas. So why would we be the guardians of it? And that's the problem. All right, the next verse from Paul is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Here, St. Paul says, quote, "Hold the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith, and in the love which is Christ Jesus. Keep the good thing," the exact same two Greek words we just saw on the screen before, "committed to thy trust by the Holy Ghost who dwelleth in us." Here he's called, again, I don't really like the Dewey Rames here, literally, guard the deposit, verse 14. Armed guard the deposit committed to you. Committed to you by whom? The Holy Ghost. The third person of the Trinity. You see, we Catholics understand that Jesus Christ gave the entire deposit of faith to the 12 apostles, and then by the Holy Spirit, it is preserved from generation to generation, from AD 33 all the way until our day. Now, you might say, well, Taylor, if that's true, why would Francis say this? Why are there bishops who don't believe this? Why are there bishops who aren't guarding? Why are there bishops who are heretics? Does this reveal the defectibility of the church? Marshall, are you saying that the Catholic Church is defectible? That Rome has defected? Nope, I am not saying that. If you think I'm saying that, you're not listening closely enough. The church can never defect. But throughout time, there can be bishops and popes who make errors in doctrine. Let me give you a couple of examples. Nestorius, he was the Archbishop of Constantinople. He was as high as you could get under the Pope, the second see in the whole church. He denied that Mary was the Theotokos, the Mother of God, and he was deposed as a heretic and exiled by the church. So yeah, but he was a bishop. How could he be wrong? Because bishops can make errors. There is nothing in the Catholic faith, in scripture, tradition, magisterium, that says 100% of all bishops are 100% Orthodox 24/7 all the time. Bishops themselves can defect from the faith. Bishops can become heretics. Bishops can become Judas. Now you may say, well, Taylor, what? I mean, it seems that Pope Francis says things that aren't in line with scripture and tradition. That's what you're talking about today. How can that be? Because of Vatican I. Vatican I says that the popes are infallible in faith and morals ex cathedra when they speak from the chair, from the throne, from their apostolic see. If the pope is talking on an airplane to people, to journalists, if he's tweeting, even if he's preaching a homily, he can make mistakes, even when he's making official ecclesiastical correspondence. For example, Pope Honorius. Everybody memorize this name. Pope Honorius I, Pope Honorius I, was condemned by an ecumenical council as a heretic. One of his successors also found fault with him. He was not canonized as a saint, obviously. Why? When he wrote the Patriarch of Constantinople, he said that Christ could have one or two wills. That is condemned as heresy in the Catholic Church. Christ has a divine nature and a human nature, perfectly united in the hypostatic union. No mixing, no commingling, divine nature, human nature. And accordingly, he has a divine will that corresponds to his divine nature, and he has a human will that corresponds to his human nature. And they are perfectly in sync. His human will never disagrees or goes off course from his divine will. Perfectly aligned. That is the teaching of the Catholic Church. That's Orthodox teaching. Pope Honorius did not teach that. He made a mistake. He was condemned for his mistake. That can happen again. Another one is John the 22nd, not John the 23rd, but John the 22nd. He taught that the Blessed Virgin Mary, the saints who had died, were not already enjoying the beatific vision, but would have to wait until the second coming of Christ to receive the beatific vision. He got in trouble with the Dominican order. He got in trouble with the University of Paris. All kinds, even royalty got involved in this debate. He was wrong. He was preaching sermons in the papal court that were heretical, contrary to the truth, contrary to orthodoxy. He was corrected. Thanks be to God, his inferiors corrected him. He repented and he submitted to the Orthodox teaching. He even wrote out a public statement renouncing his heresy, his error, and affirmed the Catholic faith. That was John, Pope John the 22nd. The reason we do what we do and we pray what we pray and we fast what we fast is we hope for the same thing to happen today as it happened with John the 22nd. It's a loving correction. It's saying, this is not correct. We want to see you on course. We want to see you as a guardian. All right, so that's 2 Timothy 1. Let's go to the third verse today. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This was actually one of the readings in the traditional Latin Mass today. And I just want to point, it's kind of off track here, but in that verse, verse 12, Paul says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 100% of you, if you try to live for Jesus Christ, if you try to live a godly life, you will suffer persecution. It's a promise from St. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. We will all be persecuted if we try to live a godly life for Christ. Continuing in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall grow worse and worse, erring and driving into error. Let me pause here. Paul says that heretics will get worse and worse over time. I think that explains part of our problem today. Verse 14, but continue thou in those things which thou hast learned and which have been committed to thee, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Here's the principle of you've been given teaching, doctrine. Now you need to preserve it. Verse 15, and because from thy infancy thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which can instruct thee to salvation by the faith which is in Christ Jesus, all Scripture, inspired of God, is profitable to teach, to reprove, to correct, to instruct in justice, that the man of God may be perfect, furnished to every good work, end quote. So St. Paul, speaking to St. Timothy, says that he should continue and preserve that which he has received from St. Paul, that is the deposit of faith. You see, we Catholics believe that St. Paul had 100% the Catholic faith. You might say, well, does that mean that in St. Paul's mind, he had all the canons of the Council of Trent? No, he didn't. However, if you had brought to St. Paul's attention any of the heresies of Martin Luther, he said, here's what this person is saying. St. Paul, in response to all those errors at the Reformation, would have either written or agreed with all the canons of Trent. If you went to Paul and says, there's this guy, he claims to be a Catholic priest. He says that you're justified by faith alone. And he actually claims that you, Paul, taught faith alone in Romans. Paul would say, no, that's not right. You're not justified by faith alone. It's faith, hope, informed by charity, by love. That's the Catholic teaching. Paul would have said that. What the church does over time with the councils and magisterial documents is it unpacks and explains the apostolic faith. So if you took anything that came from the Council of Trent or the Council of Chalcedon or the Second Council of Nicaea in 787, any of these councils, and you spoke with the apostles about it, they would say, yes, we agree with that. That's absolutely correct. Now, notice also what Paul says here to Timothy. He says that he is to use sacred scripture, the holy scriptures, to do teaching, reproving, correcting, and instructing. There are four things that Timothy should be doing as a bishop. He should be teaching people. He should be reproving people. That means warning them, saying, no, 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 don't believe that. Don't do that. Don't live that way. He should be correcting people. That has to do with the truth and instructing them in justice, how to live a righteous life. Care for the poor, care for the widow, care for the orphan, care for the clergy, care for the outcast. These are the things that we Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, must be doing because Christ commanded us to do them. We must fight for the unborn. We must take care of orphans and the poor. The widows amongst us, we must care for them. These are things that Christ taught us. How do we know? It comes from the sacred scriptures. We must be guardians of these things that Christ has taught us. See, it's not enough. See, Francis says, it means remaining bound to Christ and being devoted to his gospel. Truth is Christ himself. That's good. But also we need to know, how do we do that? And what are the means for us to do that? And that is the doctrines and the dogmas of the church. They go together. Pope Francis is bifurcating them and saying we don't need guardians of a system of doctrines and dogmas. We just need Jesus and his gospel. No, that has never been the Catholic understanding. All right, let's look at the fourth verse here. This is also from 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says, I charge thee before God and Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead by his coming and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, entreat, rebuke, in all patience and doctrine. There's that word. Uh-oh. Verse 3. For there shall be a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Itching ears. They always want to be pleased with a new teaching that's not the Catholic teaching. Verse 4. And will indeed turn away their hearing from the truth, but will be turned into fables. But be thou vigilant, labor in all things, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy ministry, be sober, end quote. Paul is saying here that he needs to be a guardian. He has to preach the word. He has to reprove, entreat, rebuke in all patience and in doctrine. You see, Paul says Timothy has to do it in doctrine. It's not, Timothy, when you're a bishop and you have a diocese, what you need to do is you just need to tell people, just follow your conscience. When you start a new parish, go in front of the people and say, follow your conscience. They say, what's the doctrine on sexual immorality? Or what's the doctrine on cloning? Or what's the doctrine on abortion or contraception? What you do is you just say, follow your conscience. That's what you do. No, you don't find that anywhere in the New Testament. What do you find? You find, be instant in season, preach the word, out of season, in season, reprove, entreat, rebuke, in all patience and in doctrine. For a time will come when people do not want sound doctrine. There's that word doctrine again. Francis says we're not supposed to be guardians of doctrine, but here it is. They will want teaching according to their own desires, their own concupiscence. And they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Got to think about who today proposes the comfortable teachings that fulfill the desires of our time? What are the desires of our secular post-Christian culture? And who are the teachers amongst the Catholic Church who conform to those desires of our age? Paul's warning us. And Paul is telling the clergy, the bishops, the priests, the Pope, they need to rebuke in all patience and doctrine. Be thou vigilant. Why would you be vigilant? You're vigilant because you are a guardian. You're armed. You're at the gate. You're at the moat. You're on the walls, and you're guarding the Catholic Church and the Catholic faith. Now, there's one more verse. Those are the four verses for the bishop from St. Paul. But Paul also wrote a verse for the lay people. That's me and you. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have learned, whether by word or by our epistle, end quote. A lot of Protestants say, Scripture alone, sola scriptura. If it's not in the Bible, I'm not going to believe it. Well, here, the Bible says that you're to hold the traditions that come by word or epistle. That means orally or written. This is why the Catholic Church follows Scripture and tradition. That's what we read in the Council of Trent. It's echoing the teaching of St. Paul. Now this, he writes to the brethren. See, right there at the beginning. Therefore, brethren, this is the lay people. All right, this is me and you. Going to our parishes with our wives and our kids, our grandkids, trying to learn more about our Lord Jesus, how to grow in grace, how to grow in the Holy Spirit, hopefully how to become a saint, to love God, to love our neighbor, to care for the unfortunate, to offer true worship and thanksgiving back to God for all he's given us. That's us, the lay people. And he says, stand fast. He doesn't say guard. That's really more the job of the clergy, the bishops and the Pope. But to stand fast, what does that mean? Put your feet into the earth and base yourself out. Don't get knocked over. Don't get tipped over. Don't trip. Stand fast and hold the traditions which you have learned. I don't want any newfangled doctrine. I want old school. I want ancient. I want church fathers. Don't come telling me, well, ever since the 1960s, we believe this. We used to believe that, but now we believe this. No, no, no. That doesn't line up with 2 Thessalonians 2:14. I'm called by the Holy Ghost to stand fast in the traditions which we have received in the one true church, the one true faith. No new versions, no 2.0, no 3.0, no 4.0. The original traditions from the apostles, learned by word and scripture. Tradition and scripture. That's it. What do the church fathers say? I found a great quote this morning as I was prepping for the show. St. Irenaeus of Lyon, great saint. He says, I'll make it a little bigger for you if I can. There we go. This was written before the year 200, at the end of the 100s. This is very early on. He says, and when we challenge them in turn, what that tradition, which is from the apostles, which is guarded by the succession of elders in the churches, they oppose themselves to tradition, saying that they are wiser, not only than those elders, but even than the apostles, end quote. We hear this today. You know, you can go to a Catholic university in their theology department, and you talk about, pick a topic, the Eucharist, baptism, holy orders. And they'll say, well, yeah, I mean, that's the way that Augustine and Bonaventure and Aquinas and St. Basil the Great and, you know, St. Justin Martyr, that's the way they understood it, but now we know better. We're modern people. We have science. We're enlightened. We have electricity. We have iPhones and computers and all kinds of things. We don't read parchments. We're sophisticated. We're modern. What does Irenaeus say about that? He says, no. You can't say that you're better than the elders and the apostles. That's not Christian. That's not Catholic. He says that's what the heretics say. He said, we Catholics, St. Irenaeus says, that they go by the tradition, which is from the apostles. Look at what he says here, right here, which is guarded by the succession of elders in the churches. It is guarded. Pope Francis says, no, we are not supposed to become guardians of a system of doctrine and dogmas. Irenaeus says, oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are, St. Irenaeus says. It is guarded. And who's it guarded by, according to St. Irenaeus? It is guarded by the succession of elders in the churches. There's a system of doctrine. There's a system of dogma called the deposit of faith. And according to Irenaeus, writing before the year 200, he says it is guarded. He uses the word guarded by the clergy in all the different churches in the cities. Not only that, he says it's the heretics who says, oh, we're wiser than the elders. We're wiser than the apostles. That's the heretics. I don't want to be a heretic. Do you want to be a heretic? Do you want to be a heretic or do you want to be a Catholic? Because right here, this quote is the Catholic quote. You must correspond to this teaching, which is sound doctrine is the tradition which comes from the apostles, which is guarded. Irenaeus doesn't say what Francis say, which is, well, we just follow Jesus Christ and his gospel. Jesus is the truth. That's enough for us. No. There is a deposit of faith. There is a tradition of doctrine and dogma. It's guarded. One more church father quote for you. This is from Clement of Alexandria. It's a little bit after, maybe a decade after the quote I just read you from St. Irenaeus. I could find all kinds of quotes from later fathers like St. Augustine or even St. Athanasius, Jerome, Gregory Nazianzus, Gregory Nyssa, Basil. I could find tons of quotes on that because they're arguing against the Arians. I wanted to find early quotes for you. So here's another early quote, probably around the year 205, within the first decade of the 200s. He says, quote, well, they guarding the tradition of the blessed doctrine derived directly from the holy apostles, Peter, James, John, and Paul, the sons receiving it from the Father, but few were like the fathers, came by God's will to us also to deposit, there's that word again, to deposit those ancestral and apostolic seeds, end quote. That's Catholic, isn't it? Isn't Clement of Alexandria telling us the true Catholic faith? And he uses the two words that Paul used when speaking to Timothy, guardianship, guarding, and deposit. They, guarding the tradition of the blessed doctrine, quote, derived directly from the holy apostles, and he names them, Peter, James, John, and Paul, like sons receiving it from a father. It's like a wealthy father. He has millions and millions of dollars. And when he comes to the end of his life, he says to his children, I want to pass on this wealth. I want to give it to you as a father gives it to his children. That's what happened. The apostles received it from Christ, and then the apostles gave it to the Pope and the bishops, and then the Pope and the bishops and the Pope and the bishops. I also like how Clement says here, came by God's will to us. This is God's will. Came by God's will to us to deposit those ancestral and apostolic seeds. Think of the seeds. There's a big oak tree. It produces seeds. Those seeds are deposited and they're supposed to grow. there's a connection between the oak tree and its seed. And it must be guarded and protected, watered, sunlight, soil, all the things necessary for growth. Are these not the same analogies that our Lord Jesus Christ gave in his parables regarding growth? Yes. So that is Clement of Alexandria. So today, we saw four verses of Paul speaking to Timothy. We saw a fifth verse from the 2 Thessalonians of Paul to the lay people. We saw a quote from St. Irenaeus. We saw a quote from St. Clement. All of them teaching us that there is a deposit of faith, a system, a perfect system of Catholic doctrine and dogma. It must be preserved. It must be guarded. It comes from the apostles all the way down through the bishops and popes of our time. That's just Catholicism. And Pope Francis, in this quote, he has it wrong. Let's pray for him. Let's fast. Let's skip a meal. But he has it wrong. This is the kind of teaching that has invaded our church. The clergy no longer think that this is their vocation, their job. They should be guardians on watch, vigilant. They should be armed with spiritual weapons, the rosary, the Bible, the scapular, the sacraments, the sacramentals, the gifts that they receive in confirmation, but even more so in holy orders. They should be standing guard on the walls, on the gates, on the moats, and guarding the deposit perfectly, because that is the will, according to St. Clement, that is the will of God. I'm going to close in prayer. We're going to pray a Hail Mary for Pope Francis, and I'll make an announcement about the drawing for the Father Lassant's Missal and the Latin and English Summa Theologiae of Thomas Aquinas. Let's pray first for Pope Francis. Oremus. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et at hora mortis nostrae. Amen. And we'll thank God for all the good popes and bishops who have kept vigilance and protected the deposit. Gloria Patri, Filio, Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio, et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. I'm not kidding, friends. I really do think we need to pray and fast for our situation. I think the very minimum, pray a rosary for Pope Francis. Fast a meal a day for Pope Francis. This is the wrong trajectory. I mean, I haven't even talked about his involvement with the health conference, with the Clintons and Fauci and all these things going on. It's really unmasking the sick and broken culture that's at the Vatican right now. And we feel it. We know it. We can't just complain. We have to pray and we have to fast. We have to seek God to intervene. All right. Well, everybody, I will be doing the drawing for Pentecost for the Father Lassant's Missal. A lot of people have been asking me, hey, Taylor, I saw you doing the drawing. How can I just buy a Father Lassant's Missal? Well, they're kind of sold out right now. They're real hard to find. This is a brand new reprint of the Father Lassant's. Man, it's really nice. Gilded. This is my favorite Latin Mass Missal. And I will do a drawing. I'm not going to do it on Pentecost Sunday because our family's going to be celebrating the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. But on Pentecost Monday, I will come back and do an announcement. I'll do the drawing live here on YouTube for you to win this beautiful missal. And you can do that by being a patron. It's a thank you for all the people who support my work writing, teaching, and doing podcasts like the one you're watching right now. So you can find out about that. Depending on different levels, I'll send you cool merch and mugs and signed books and all that, signed copies of Infiltration or Crucified Rabbi, Thomas Aquinas, 50 pages. So go to patreon.com/drtaylormarshall to learn more. how you can do that. Now, I was originally going to give away this with the Latin English Summa Theologiae. It has Latin on one side, the English on the other. This is the one that I use. It's one I've used for a decade. It's my favorite Summa of Thomas Aquinas. I was going to give them together as a pair. But Joy said, well, so that more people can win, you should have two drawings. So one drawing is going to be for the Father Lassance on Monday. The second drawing will be for the Latin English Summa. This is actually worth a lot more. I know people are excited about this, but this is worth a lot of money. It's very expensive. So I'll be giving those away, and both of them will come with a signed copy of Infiltration, and both of them you'll receive a year subscription to the Benedictus Daily Latin Mass Missalette in the mail. So there'll be two drawings for everyone who supports this channel on patreon.com/drtaylormarshall. Also this week, I'll be uploading the Catholic epistles of the New Testament for all the Patreon users. That, of course, is going to be James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude. I upload all these books in the Bible, and you can listen to them in your car while you're working out, driving. It's a great benefit that people receive over at the Patreon membership support. So again, thanks to everyone who has signed up on Patreon and who makes this work possible. Also, just a reminder, if you haven't liked the video, please give it that quick thumbs up. Also, share this video on Facebook. I really do appreciate everyone who takes that extra moment to hit the share button and share it around. That expands the audience and lets people find this kind of content. And then also please subscribe. There's a subscribe button beneath us. Click on that and hit the bell, and you'll be notified every time I go live. Really do appreciate everybody who follows on a daily basis. All right, friends, make sure you're praying the rosary every single day. If you don't pray the rosary, you're not on the team. The rosary is traditional. Does it go back to the apostles? Probably not. But the idea of honoring Our Lady, praying the angelic salutation, as we find in Luke's gospel, and meditating on the mysteries of sacred scripture, the life of Christ, that is apostolic, that is biblical, that is traditional. And the easiest way to package all that together into a 20-minute exercise is praying the rosary. So pray the rosary every day, or you're not on the team. Also, read the Bible. I think you saw today we went through five Bible verses. Those five Bible verses open our eyes by the power of the Holy Spirit to understand the truth of the Catholic tradition. The Bible's not Protestant. The Bible's Catholic. So read the Bible every day. I encourage you to read 1 to 3 chapters every day. There's also a help over for Patreon and also a new St. Thomas Institute. I've put together a way of reading the Bible in 1 year, the Catholic Bible in 1 year. You can get that over there as well. All right, friends, thanks for watching. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ says, you're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless and Godspeed.